We are no longer sitting in synagogue. We are, instead, Israelites assembled at the Mount. We are hearing the word of God. We are in awe of the declaration of the Decalogue. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 71, The Day We Stood at Sinai. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It was, surely, one of my favorite cinematically linked experiences, holding in my hands the tablets of the Ten Commandments. I refer to the tablets that were utilized by Cecil B. DeMille in his filming of the landmark movie, The Ten Commandments. In contrast to his original black and white version made decades before, which was created entirely in California, DeMille actually filmed much of the 1950s production in the Sinai Desert. And for usage in the film, he had utilized two tablets of stone that were actually carved out from the site that many believe to be Mount Sinai. Then, when he returned to California, he gifted those tablets to Mount Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. That hospital ultimately became Cedars-Sinai, and it was thanks to my friend, Rabbi Jason Wiener, the chaplain at Cedars-Sinai, that I was actually able to hold those tablets in my hands and imagine myself at Mount Sinai. It was enormously enjoyable, for me a cherished moment. But the truth is that the Torah actually asks all of us, even if we have not been so fortunate as to hold cinematic history in our hands, to imagine ourselves at Mount Sinai. And this is the command in Deuteronomy 4. Rak hishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od. Only take great heed and guard greatly your life. Pen tishkach et hadvarim asher ra'u einecha. Lest you forget that which your eyes saw. Ufen yasuru milevavecha kol yemei chayecha. And lest you remove from your heart all the days of your life. Vehodatam livanecha velivnei vanecha. You shall make it known to your children and your children's children. Yom asher amadta lifnei Hashem Elokecha b'chorev. The day when you stood before the Lord your God in Chorev. Be'emor Hashem Eli hakeli et ha'am v'ashmi'em et divarai. When the Lord said to me, gather unto me the people, so that I will make heard to them my words. Asher yilmudun liyiraoti kol hayamim asher hem chayim al ha'adama. So that they shall learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth. Vet b'nehem ilamedun. And they shall teach thusly to their children. For Nachmanides, this is a mitzvah Maimonides misses in his counting of the commandments. We have an obligation to remember the day we stood at Sinai. The very experience that we will describe this Sabbath is not only an account of what occurred to our ancestors. It is a moment that every one of us must remember. Now, of course, it may occur to anyone pondering the view of Nachmanides that it may appear odd to remember an event that occurred in the past to those from whom we descend. But the point, of course, is that in covenantal time, we are all connected to the spiritually significant moments. This is signified by the very verse itself. You shall make known to your children and your children's children the day you stood at Sinai. It is through the link joining children and children's children, through the medium of Masorah, Hebrew for transmission, that events eternally exist in covenantal memory, so that what occurred in the midst of the desert thousands of years ago can live on in our minds in whatever metropolis we may find ourselves. The unique nature of Masorah transmission and its relationship with time, with the past, and with the future is described by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik in his great work, The Lonely Man of Faith. He puts it as follows, quote, in the covenantal community, man of faith finds deliverance from his isolation in the now, for the latter contains both the before and the after. Every covenantal time experience is both retrospective, reconstructing and reliving the bygone, as well as prospective, anticipating the about to be. In retrospect, covenantal man re-experiences the rendezvous with God, in which the covenant as a promise, hope, and vision originated. In prospect, he beholds the full eschatological realization of this covenant, its promise, hope, and vision. So Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, and he further explains that the reason that covenantal memory can work this way is because at the heart of a covenant is a God who is not limited by the finite boundaries of time. Or as he further writes, let us not forget that the covenantal community includes the He who addresses himself to man not only from the now dimension, but also from the supposedly already vanished past, from the ashes of a dead before facticity, as well as from the as yet unborn future. For all boundaries establishing before, now, and after disappear when God the Eternal speaks. So Rabbi Soloveitchik beautifully puts it, and then he adds, in a paragraph which is one of my favorite from his writings, thus, the individual member of the covenantal faith community feels rooted in the past and related to the future. The before and after are interwoven in his time experience. He is not a hitchhiker suddenly invited to get into a swiftly traveling vehicle which emerged from nowhere and from which he will be dropped into the abyss of timelessness while the vehicle will rush on into parts unknown, continually taking on new passengers and dropping the old ones. Covenantal man begins to find redemption from insecurity and to feel at home in the continuum of time and responsibility, which is experienced by him in its endless totality. End quote. For Rabbi Soloveitchik, one of the ultimate evidences of this experience is the way that we as a community instinctively rise, as we will do this Sabbath when the Ten Commandments are read. Suddenly, we are no longer sitting in synagogue. We are, instead, Israelites assembled at the Mount. We are hearing the word of God. We are in awe of the declaration of the Decalogue. And having experienced this, we too can tell our children and our children's children of the time we stood at Sinai. As part of my visit to Cedar Sinai, as part of my encounter of the tablets of the Ten Commandments, I also saw a remarkable photograph of the ceremony in which these tablets were gifted by DeMille, a ceremony attended by the governor of California, Ronald Reagan. The tablets, which you can see in the photograph in the article that we have shared with you, were also accompanied by a plaque prepared by DeMille. It read, "These tablets come from the heights of Mount Sinai itself, from the hallowed ground where Moses stood when God revealed himself in the burning bush, and where the Ten Commandments were written with the finger of God." And then underneath, we find in smaller letters, "Presented by Cecil B. DeMille, who journeyed to Mount Sinai, October 1954. The truth is that one need not watch the Ten Commandments or travel to the desert in order to journey to Mount Sinai. It is a journey that Jews will experience this week, this Sabbath, as the Ten Commandments are read aloud again. And as we remember that moment at the Mount, we will, for Nachmanides, be fulfilling a biblical commandment, living in eternal time, standing at Sinai in awe. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together next week, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, signing off.